Okay, we're up to the last pasuk in Perek Gimel. We already did it, but we have to just do the Targum. The Targum has some very interesting ideas. Okay, the pasuk again, the pasuk Perek Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph. Se'enu Ure'ena. As we mentioned yesterday, the name of the famous Sefer. Anyone who is the author? Does anyone know who the author is? There's no author. What?
It's so old.
It's old. I should have looked into it today. Looked into it. This resource. Okay, it's Se'enu Ure'ena.
It's a woman's thing.
Art school translated. One of the early things they did one of the early projects was the translation of Se'enu Ure'ena. Se'enu Ure'ena, go out and see Bino Sion B'melech Shlomo, see the Melech Shlomo Bo'atara, the crown, She'itra lo imo, the crown that he has been adorned with by his mother, Biyom Chasunoso Uviyom Simchas Libo, on the day of his wedding and the day of the joy of his heart. So we discussed yesterday, we learned yesterday the Mitzudos, we learned Rashi, and this according to the Mitzudos, this refers to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the crown, refers to Matan Torah, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just give me 1 second to recap. Open up the Mitzudos, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So this was is referring to the time of Matan Torah. Okay, so therefore the time of the Yom Simchas Libo, Mr. Yerushalmi, welcome back. Okay. Yom Simchas Libo is reference to Rashi Pashtus is the time of Matan Torah, and the crown is the 3 Pesukim which Hashem bestowed upon Klal Yisrael. So Imoy is the mother of Klal Yisrael. Even though we normally refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our father, we refer to Hashem as our father, Hashem is also our mother. And that's what it says. You cannot deny the fact. The crown that was made for it by its mother. Hashem is our mother. And the crown are the 3 psukim. Be'atem tihiyu li mamleches koyinim v'goy kodosh. And v'yisim li segula Yisrael asher b'cho espo'er. These are the 3 psukim that serve as the crown for Klal Yisrael. Rashi, what was it? What? Did we work the machine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's too loud, in fact. You don't hear it so well. All the air conditioning?
There's a fan going on.
Okay, so we have over here the crown. The crown is the 3 psukim. According to Rashi, Rashi says that the crown refers to the various, the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and the crown are the coverings, the Ohel Moed, the Uriyos, the Tachash, the various layers of material that was put upon the Mishkan. This is the crown. It's an interesting idea that's what we should refer to as our crown. Okay, so then according to that, again, Imo again refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's see that we discussed yesterday the idea we left off with, that interesting idea that Imo here refers to Bas Sheva, the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. The person here in the pasuk is Pshutukim Hashmo. Look at the crown, B'melech Shlomo. It's Pshutukim Hashmo, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But B'melech Shlomo is Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech received the crown. Where do we find that Shlomo HaMelech received the crown on the day of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash? So we discussed yesterday this idea. It was the Musa that his mother gave him. Shlomo, we mentioned this yesterday, and Shlomo HaMelech, he woke up late on the first day of the Beis HaMikdash, and his mother and the Klal Yisrael were unable to offer the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. They were afraid to wake him up because of Emud Malchus. So they went to his mother Basheva and they asked her, "You go into his bedroom and wake him up." Not only did she go in to wake him up, she beat him up. She hit him, and she gave him Musar. How dear, what a disgrace. She said to him that people are going to say that it's all my fault, because no one's going to accuse your father. David, everyone knows, was a tzaddik. So they'll say, how does it come over here? A child is an oisvarf. is an Oisvarf, he sleeps late on the first day of the Beis Hamikdash, the Hanukkah Hamikdash. An Oisvarf, it must be because the bad blood is the mother's bad blood. That's what it says Mamash in the Gemara. So therefore she beat him up. So she gave him Musar. This was a bracha. This Chazal, it's an amazing idea what it says in the Sefer Shul Rav. This idea, it comes out that it was a silver lining. This, that Shlomo HaMelech, he woke up, you know, there are so many stories in these storybooks of people who never ever wake up late. And it happens one time in their life, they wake up late, and it turns out that saved their life. They had they gone on time, they would have been in some accident, something would have happened, they would have been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
World Trade Center,
they came late. Unfortunately, I have stories the other way around also, right? People who never wake up early, and on that day they happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. On that morning, a lot of from people that was slichas. I remember it was slichas.
The security guy who was sort of pushed out of the FBI because he said there's terrorism coming down the
road. Yeah,
and he was it was his last day on the job, and right. He came in an extra day just
that he had just started the job at the tracing.
So what, he came in that day? He was killed.
Yeah.
And it was his first day on the job. Alright. I know someone once told me a joke. It's not a nice joke. Someone said to me that he asked me the question, what would you do if you knew a half an hour before it's going to happen? What would you do? Half an hour before it was going to happen, you had inside information. What? That the center is going to come down. What would you do? So they went around the room, ask everyone, what would you do? Oh, I'll call the FBI, I'll call the police for the alien. But they wouldn't believe you. You got to do something desperate. What would you do? They kept going around the room, asking people what would they do. Then they come to one guy, he would say, if I knew half an hour before, I would call up my boss and tell him, emergency, you have to come meet me immediately. The top of the World Trade Center. Unbelievable. See, Hashkacha Pratis. There are many stories of people who do slichas, and there are people who do slichas, davening is longer, and there are
also,
there was a Brit.
A lot of people.
People
came in late because of the bris.
So you never know. Okay, but Shlomo HaMelech, he woke up late, so we would assume this was a bad thing. But yet Chazal put a very positive twist, because he woke up late, his mother lashed out at him and gave him Musa. And there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more valuable in this world than Musar. Someone gives you Musar that puts you on the right path. And that is what the Pasuk says was the crown. This was Bo'atara, She'itra lo'i imo, B'yoyim chasunasa, V'yoyim simchas libo. The crown, the silver lining in waking up late is Simoni Milsa. The inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash was accompanied by words of Musar. Shlomo HaMelech was put in his place. Who can put him in his place other than his mother? His wives couldn't put him in his place. They took him in the wrong place. But his mother put him in his place. That was a good thing that happened to Klal Yisrael on the first day of the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash. We continue with this, and then we say that's a drush. That's maybe what it means in the Megillah. Or Mordechai Yosem Lefnei HaMelech Belavush Malchus Techeles V'chor V'Ateres Zohav Gidolah. Mordechai, he went out with a crown. Just like the crown over here in Shir HaShirim is the crown of his mother, Hashem is Musar. The end of the Megillah leaves off with words of Musar. V'rotzui l'roiv echav. Why? Because he was poirish from Divrei Torah. Anyone, the Iker is, even though he was poirish for good reason, because of Hatzolas Nefashos, but the message is, the end of the Megillah is, there is nothing more valuable in this world than Talmud Torah. That was the crown that he wore on his head. The Musar that the Sanhedrin gave him, you're doing something very good, but you can be better by learning Torah. Okay, now, so that was Mitzudas Rashi. Now we have over here a very interesting Targum. Targum and Pasuk Yud Aleph says as follows. The Targum, let me just turn to the page. Okay. Ubosar da Ashlim Yod, that's the wrong Pasuk. What happened to the pasuk? Tess, here. I know. I'm looking for the pasuk here. Okay, here it is. Kad also Shlomo Malka leNebad Yos Chanukah space Makdisha. When Shlomo HaMelech entered to make the Chanukah space Mikdisha, Kiroiza Nofak Bichel, a baskoil came forth. V'chein amar, and so it said, Puku v'chazu yosfei pilchayo de'arod Yisrael. Go out and see. Go out and see the daughters of Yerushalayim. So when it says se'enu re'enu, who are we referring to? Beno Sion. The Beno Sion means, the Targum says, the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Puku v'chazu yosfei pilchayo de'arod Yisrael. That's different than what other Mefarshim said. Rashi said, or the Mitzudos says it was the Umos Ha'olam. I think the Mitzudos says that Tse'enu Re'enu Benos Sion. No, I take that back. Okay, let's leave it with Alice. The Benos Sion refers over here to the people who live in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. The Amo Dit Sion, the Saga Uvichelila, the crown, the two different types of crowns. The Chalilu Amo Beis Yisrael, the Malko Shlomo, that was crowned by the nation of the Chalila Amo Beis Yisrael Yosmalko Shlomo B'yom Chanukah Space Makdisha. A new interpretation of Imo. Imo comes from the word an Uma, a nation. The crown is not given to him by his mother. It's not given to him by Hashem. It's not Hashem giving a crown to Klal Yisrael. It is Klal Yisrael is called here the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, because Aim is a code word for an Uma. Klal Yisrael, they crown Shlomo HaMelech. The Chadob, now what was the crown? I guess they literally put on a crown on his head, or it means that they celebrated the fact that he succeeded in building the Beis HaMikdash. The Chadob b'ched v'aschagod. Now here's a very critical couple of words. And they celebrated with the joy of Chagod Dim Ta Lalta. That means Chag HaSukos. These two words are the code words that the Targum always uses to translate Chag HaSukos. Now, when did the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash begin? On the seventh day of Tishrei. How long did it last? It lasted for 14 days. 7-7. So it was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So we're off by 1. So then, what does it mean then? It had to start then on the 8th day? Did it start on the 8th day? I'm confused.
No, it's just that it ran through Yom Kippur.
It's at 7 and 7. 7 days and 7 days. Okay, it's 7 days, but I'm not really clear. But basically, it started, maybe it started on the 8th day.
No, the 13th. It went all the way to the end of Sukkot.
Yeah. Right, but it started 7 days before Sukkot. Sukkot's on the 15th day. So that means it has to start on the 8th day. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let's assume for the moment it started on the 8th day. Okay, on the 8th day of Tishrei. That's 7 days before Sukkos, and then another 7 days, which are the 7 days of Sukkos, and then there's one more day, which is going to be the Shmini Atzeres. Right? So let's approximate for the moment. It's not, the details will come to the moment. Chaga, they celebrated Bechaga Dim Ta Lalta, the festival of Sukkos, the Avad Shlomo Malka, which Shlomo HaMelech. Because of Tal, what do you mean?
Because it's
a shade, right. Chagod Dim Talalta, the festival of shade, Chag HaSukkos. This is a common term that the Targum uses to refer to Sukkos. Tal, right, Tal is shade. Sorry, the festival of shade. The Avad Shlomo Malko Beidno Hahu, which Shlomo celebrated at that time. Yos Chagod, the festival, he repeats himself. Dim Talalta. Are be'as asar yomin, 14 days. Now this doesn't make sense. Everyone here in the Suras B'Medinos, he brings in a lot of sources, they question, what is he talking about over here? Sukkos is only 7 days. 7 days followed by Shmini Atzeres. We know that he celebrated, the festival he celebrated for 14 days, which simply means from day 8 through day 14, and then from day 15, continuing day 15 through day 21. They celebrated Chag, they celebrated the 14 days of of the inauguration. And those days, by the way, spanned, it passed over Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishrei, and indeed in that year, they did not fast on Yom Kippur. And they were disturbed, they questioned their decision if it was correct not to fast on Yom Kippur, until a Baskel came forth and said, "You don't worry, you did not do an Avera, Lech Echol B'Simcha Lachnecha, you did not do an Avera." But there's no such thing in the Torah as 14 days of Sukkos. There are 7 days of Sukkos. If Shlomo HaMelech wanted to begin the inauguration 7 days before, fine. But how can the Targum call these days 14 days of Sukkos? So the answer to that question is a very big chiddush, is that the Mefarshim want to learn is that when Shlomo HaMelech, when he made the Chanukah HaMikdash, he did not just make 7 days. He expanded Sukkos Midrabanan by 7 days. In other words, those 7 days, they took Lulav and Esrog. Those 7 days, they sat in the Sukkah. It's a tremendous Chiddush. Just like we in Chutz Li'aretz, we have Sfeika D'Yoma. The Rabbanan were misaking to have a second day of Yom Tov, even Bizman Hazeh, when we are so that's what they talk about. How can we use Shabbat Taisus? Even though we are experts, B'Kfi D'Yach, we know the calendar, it doesn't matter. We still commemorate 2 days because Minig Avoseinu, and even Shavuos, which does not depend upon Sfeika D'Yoma, because Shavuos is 50 days after Pesach, so we can already figure out by that time already the messengers will reach the far distant lands and inform them exactly when Yom Tov is. In order to be mechazek Sfeika D'Yoma, Chazal u'Mesaken, you have no choice but to observe a second day of Shavuos. Shlomo HaMelech did the same thing in Yerushalayim, to observe not one additional day of Sukkos, but 7 additional days of Sukkos, not after, but before. In other words, it was not the inauguration that Shlomo HaMelech made for the Beis HaMikdash was not a new holiday. It was an extension of a pre-existing holiday. And for that 1 year alone, Hoiro HaShoah, it was a 14-day Sukkos. Now, to some degree, that also takes away some of the question of how were they able to eat on Yom Kippur. If you're making your own holiday, so then what right do you have to come along and make a new holiday and eat on Yom Kippur? But if this is not a new holiday, this is just a natural extension of a pre-existing holiday where the Torah already says, V'samachta b'chagecha, and you have to have simcha, so then it lessens the question. It's an amazing idea with this target, this mafarshim. It takes away from the sting of the question, how were they allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Yeah, because Yom Kippur has been subsumed in swallowed up by Sukkos. Sukkos has expanded backwards 7 days. Yes, that's the chiddush. You see a lot of chiddushim that Yom Misakin is an extension of Yom Tov, not just in Chutz Li'aretz. Sveika D'Yomo on Shavuos in order to be Mechazek Sveika. There's a din of a second day Yom Tov even in Eretz Yisrael. Not only is it going to be 1 day, it's going to be 7 days. Not only is it going to be afterwards, which generally is the time when we have Sveika D'Yomo, we have it afterwards. It was 7 days before. So there's an amazing idea with this Targum over here, which has to also mean also that during these first 7 days, they sat and they ate in Sukkos. Do you ask the average person how
Kippur ate in the Sukkah?
Yeah. Yom Kippur, they ate in the Sukkah, and they took the Dalad Minim. They took Lulav and Esrog for 14 days. So that's pretty tough. People have a hard time struggling that the Dalad Minim should last 6 days. The Dalad Minim had to last 14 days. Yeah?
But then, they were inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash, which means that they would have to also perform the Avoda of Yom Kippur.
On that day, so possibly, maybe, okay.
Combined
that it was a Sukkos Yom Kippur. That's what the Targum says. The Targum makes it very clear that all 14 days had the status of Sukkos. It's a very big chiddush to say such a thing. If it wouldn't be a Targum, you could never say such a thing. But that's really what it says. And that's all, unfortunately, even the Rishonim, they mentioned this. They mentioned this thing in the Rashba, and the Ritva takes note of this.
So would they have suspended the Yom Kippur Avodah?
No,
seemingly not. Seemingly not.
No, it seems the way from the Gemara that they just Yom Kippur didn't exist that year.
and they were nervous about it until Hashem gave them the final.
Right. So, but this explanation takes away part of that question. It wasn't that if you're going to make your own holiday, let's say they want to make Purim. So Purim happens to fall out on Yom Kippur. It's two words. Let's say so. Then no, you can't go make Purim on Yom Kippur because the Torah gave us Yom Kippur. You want to make a new holiday, so make a new holiday, another day of the week. But you're dealing with a pre-existing holiday that already exists, and you're just expanding it. When you're expanding a pre-existing holiday, the question is still a question. How are you allowed to do that on Yom Kippur? But it's not as severe because it's an extension of a biblical holiday, not a brand new holiday. Now there's
by Purim itself, Purim Kippurim. The Purim you can extend backwards. You start
It's a new holiday. Now there's a major flaw with this idea, with this problem, and that is the Gemara says v'samachta b'chagecha ein ma'arvim simcha b'simcha. If you're going to tell me the inauguration took place on, it was 7 days. So really the truth is that you can argue that it was a 7-day inauguration. The Beis Hamikdash, day 8 to day 14, and then back to back, after they finished inaugurating the Beis Hamikdash, now they had another 7, it was now Sukkot, so you have two different celebrations that are back to back, but that's not called Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. Why didn't Shlomo HaMelech make the inauguration on Sukkot? No, he wouldn't make it on the 15th day of Tishrei to go for the next 7 days, because that would be a clear violation of Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. But if you're going to extend Sukkot backwards, and Sukkot is now going to be 14 days, and these full 14 days are going to be the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash. That l'chayre is Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha.
It starts before.
Okay, but even 7 days. Well, 2 days before Yom Kippur. 8, 9, 10.
So there's no Ma'arvim. You started.
No, but now I'm talking about Ma'arvim of Sukkot. I'm talking about Sukkot. If you're saying that these 14 days are 14 days of Sukkot, and these 14 days are also the celebration of the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to combine two celebrations together. The celebration of the Beis Hamikdash has to be independent, cannot be combined with Sukkot. And here, that's exactly what we're doing. So, here he has a discussion. He points out that this sug of Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha is a machloikis tanoim. It's not something which all opinions agree. According to some opinions, you are allowed to mingle holidays, and you have no choice but to say that according to this Targum's Chiddush, that Sukkot was expanded 7 days backwards, and Sukkot also, this 14-day Sukkot, served as a celebration of the Beis Hamikdash. The Targum was of the opinion, Me'orvin Simcha B'Simcha.
There's a minute that the people of Rosh Hashanah adopt on a Shabbos.
What? Okay, yeah, that's not Ma'arvim Simcha. No, because you're not. I think that's a lesser Simcha. You have many things to do on Shabbos. That's not the same league.
In Antwerp this year, there were 7 chassanim and 7 different shuls, and they made one kiddush.
All the chassanim.
The whole town together, so that they didn't have to run from Simcha.
Could save money also. Okay, so this
kiddush, the whole town
catered to the horses.
Okay, so this is a very fascinating targum to memory. All right, so we have over here. Okay, let's go to the next parak. Next parak is parak Dali. We begin Hinoch Yofar Ayosi. Now, again, the parakim breaks are not necessarily of a Jewish source. According to Chazal, it could very well be there's just one continuous stream. We can flowing in, so it's not like we're starting something new. It's a continuation. Hinoch Yofar Ayosi. Hinoch Yofar Naich Yonim. You are beautiful, my beloved. Hinoch Yofar, we repeat this expression twice. We'll see the medrash in a moment. Einayich Yonim, your eyes are similar to the dove. We'll see what that means in a moment. Miba'ad latsamo seich, from behind your veil. Atsamo seich, we're going to see in Rashi, means a shechava, a word that's used in the Mishnah very often. It means some type of net. Some type of hair covering, or it's more not hair covering, it's an object that women use to collect their hair on their head and cover it. It serves two functions. Number one, it's a cover. Number two, it's like a clip. It binds the hair together. Ke'eder, your hair, mi'ba'adat samoseich, from behind your veil, okay, we'll see, sa'areich, your hair is beautiful. Like the flocks of goats, the white flocks of goats, shagolshu mehar gilad, which have golsh. Let me give the precise translation. of she they don't have here in the Mitzudos. David.
Musaf l'Shabbos.
Okay, which I think which have which okay let's see the mitzvahs. Okay, let's
they go down and you suddenly see them out.
Okay, let's see the mitzvahs first. Let's see the mitzvahs. Okay, let's see. But here it is. Shagol shu look in the mitzvahs tzion. Shagol shu means inyan merita sasar, the pulling out, the plucking out of here. Ki gabachu targum unkelis golishu. Gibeach is one of the mitzoroim, and it means he has a bald spot. Gibeach, if his hair falls out, shagolshu, what? Kireach, but gibeach, it also means the eyebrows fall out. When the eyebrows fall out, so shagolshu means when they come out of Har Gilad, these izim they migrate. Part of their pasture is they go from place to place, and the time of the year when they come out of Har Gilad, if you're standing in the right location and you see them coming down the mountain of Har Gilad, the hair on these goats, it shines. It has a beautiful glow. I guess with the combination of the sinu, the mountain, and the sun, the environment causes the hair on these goats to shine, and that's we're referring to the beauty of the hair of the Yishon. Okay, let's see them to this first. The Mitzvah of the year says, Hinoch Yofar Yosika, Sher Hoya Nishma, El Hechoshuk, Shehi Mishta Shas, the Havoso Elov. When the Choshuk hears that about the love that his Kala has for him, V'aflogas Bitchoinoi Bo, and when the Chosan, he becomes aware that of the faith that his Kala has in him, Sholach Hamorav L'Kalsa, so he responds, he reciprocates. In other words, this is a continuation of the previous parak. In the previous parak, we described over here all of these beautiful things that Klal, that the Kala, the Isha, this how she described the beauty of her Chosan. Tse'enu ure'ena b'no Sion b'melech Shlomo b'atra Shlomo. All these pasuk in the previous pasuk is words of a praise that the Isha had for her Chosan. So now the Chosan reciprocates. And the reciprocation is kashahoye nishma lechoshek shi mishtashas b'avosu elov v'aflogas b'tchoyna ba, and the enormous faith that the Isha has in him, sholach amorav l'kalso, so he reciprocates with words of praise, v'choy omar, and so he says, hinoch yofo, you are beautiful, rotzo loymar, yofo hoyiso me'oz oitcho, re'isi v'yashedesi modi, you were beautiful in the past. Is it coming over here to address the question why the pasuk says Yofa twice? You're beautiful in the past when you were sitting with me. V'adayin at oimedes b'yofyech v'loy nifrido hayof mimcha mikol v'chol b'avur hatzar she'azavticha. And you're still beautiful now, even though you are in pain, because I have left you. Even though there's been a separation between us, and that separation can cause a normal person to lose their yoifi, the effect, the trauma of distance from the object of your love can cause a certain depreciation of the yoifi. That has not happened to you. The Chosan says, you were beautiful in the past when I was with you, and even though now I am separated from you, I can see you from afar, and I can see that you have the same beauty. V'hanimshalu, what is the message? L'achodim, l'achodim im ha-moshal. We don't need a nimshal. The nimshal is the moshal. It's self-understood what the pasuk here is saying. V'yoymer al kishrin ha-masim, and the pasuk over here is, what is the yoifi? The yoifi here refers to the good deeds. The yoifi over here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu praised Claudius, we praise them for their good deeds. Yes. In this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that you were beautiful, you had Maisim Toivim in the past, when my Shechina was resting with you, and now in Golos, when I've separated myself from you, you also have Maisim Toivim, you're beautiful now as well.
So
now here,
what makes a difference from the last pasuk, and he says, look at the difference, I mean, not in a very positive way, look at the difference from the Mishkan to the Beis HaMikdash now. look at the difference. The Yom Katsunos, so when God first gave you the Torah, and you were on a very high spiritual level, you built the Mishkan, what you're missing. Look, I mean, look at the Beis HaMikdash now. There's a huge difference between the
Kedusha.
Kedusha,
you could have had. Okay, but according to the Mitzvahs, we're basically describing Klai Yisrael in the time of Golos. In the time of Golos, we're describing the situation, and Hashem is saying, even though now you are distant from me, but you are still beautiful, just like you were beautiful in the days of old when my Shechina was resting with you. Now he describes in more detail what exactly is your beauty. Einayich yoinim, your eyes are like doves. Mare einecho hoya me'oz, in the past, kimare einay yoinim. V'hinei, nistoros mipnim lehapin. Now it's all it says. I guess that means, according to the Mitzvah, it just means very simply that you have beautiful eyes. The eyes of the dove are very beautiful. Now there's the Midrash and the deeper meaning, what it means, will come to with me in moments. Next, v'hinei nistaros mipnimim lehamosach. You're hiding, your eyes are hiding behind a veil. Now, I told you a different interpretation of what it means with Latzamasech. Latzamasech is you're hiding behind the veil, especially if that's really what the trop is. It's a tipcha esnachta, so it appears to be a continuation of the eyes. Hinoch yofar einayich yoinim mi ba'ad Latzamasech. Your eyes are hiding behind the veil. Uvezeh hayu mamshicha sahava v'cheshag yoser mi ilu hayu gluyus mi mibli misveh. Okay, so leave something to the imagination. Okay, when you put your eyes, what's the genuvim? When you can't see, so it adds some mystique. It adds some. I once read a fascinating article. It's about women. Did you ever see a bride go down the chuppah with eyeglasses? Eyeglasses. You did see?
Sure. Yeah?
Okay, so this, according to the, I'm not familiar, but according to it says, it doesn't exist such a thing. A kala does not wear eyeglasses. A kala wears contacts. That's just the way it is. So this is a secular article. He's saying there's a new trend now in fashion, is that you wear glasses.
Even sunglasses.
Okay. So what he writes there is that a story about a boy getting a girl, and the girl's wearing glasses, and the boy says, can I, they were very serious. Can I take off your glasses? So she says, no, we're not yet holding there. We're not on that madriga. We're not so close. I'm not so comfortable with you. I can take off the eyeglasses. Okay, so no glass. You can see through the glass. We discussed this yesterday. The avuka, the aspak maria. We discussed it yesterday. But it's an interesting idea. Is that the Mitzvah really here is saying this idea? Is that it adds intrigue? It adds a mystique. When you're wearing something to cover your eyes, there is a mystique to the person, and therefore that enhances the relationship. That's what he says. And this makes the person more beloved than if the eyes were completely exposed. What is a nimshul? Al hachachamim shehim einei ho'eda. So here the Mitzvah goes off on his own, and he says it's not on his own. There are a lot of midrashim that actually that they go to town on this. Is the eyes refer to the einei ho'eda? All of the psukim that we're going to see ahead of us, or at least in the next three psukim, refer to the talmidei chachamim, the leaders of the generation, who are called the einei ho'eda. They are beautiful. They are beautiful, like the yoinim. Utsnuim b'maaseihem lehastidam b'bnei adam. And the koyach of the talmidei chacham is they do everything b'tzina. They don't show off their good deeds. They do good deeds b'seiser. That's how the mitzvah starts. Now the Medrash says a little bit differently. They says it. They sat in a private location, the lishkas hagozes. The The Lishkas HaGazis was off on the side. It was in a Mokoyim Tsanua. If you'd come to the Beis HaMikdash, you'd want to find the Sanhedrin, it would not be obvious where they were. You had to ask for instructions where to come to the Beis HaMikdash. It was by design, because the koyach of success, Ein Bracha Mitzuya El Bedavar HaSomoy Min Ha'ayin. The Sanhedrin sat in a Mokoyim Tsanua in the Beis HaMikdash. They are here called the Einayich Yoinim. They sit behind Miba'ad VatSamosech. They are sitting behind their veil in the Mokoyim Tsanua. Next, Sareich. You're here. Is Ke'eder is like a flock of goats. What does that mean? Sa'ar roishcha hoyo me'os soruk. It was combed. Mavhik. And it shined. Ke'sa'ar like the hair of Ke'eder who is ma'asher nimritu, which have been nimritu v'nishriku be'anfei ha'koitzim, that have been plucked out. So he ties us here the word Ke'eder. Not like I told you that they come here from Har Gilad. It means in the thorns, in the branches of thorns.
I think it means that they were combed.
Right, it was combed. Okay, it doesn't mean they were plucked out, because it says nimritu. Nimritu really means to be pulled out. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay. Nimritu v'nishriku bi'anfei ha'koitzim, the branch of thorns, b'riditu amin makam, as they come down, shalom aleichem, when they come down from as they come down from the place of their pasture, mehar gila uchiilu nisruku b'nisruk, as if, okay, saying as if they've been combed with a comb. Period. That's what it means over here. Ke'eder who is in like the flock of goats shegolsh, which have been plucked or been combed as they come down from Har Gilad, which enhances their appearance. Now, what is the message according to the parish of the Mitzudos? Venim shulhu al hanazirim shahoyu ba hamegadlim perasar roisham ke'eder hoizim. Hashem is praising Klal Yisrael that there were an abundance of nazirim in Klal Yisrael who grew long hair, locks of hair, and the locks of hair were beautiful like the hair of the goats. Now the hair. Only 30 days.
Yeah.
Stam Nazir is only 30 days. So what then? Unless there's a Nazir, if you set aside a term, if you do Makabal the term for a year or 2 years, then you go continuously for what you can do one shot. But that's rare. That was not the common case. The common case was you Makabal terms. And every 30 days, you shave your hair. Okay, but there is such thing of Makabal Senechnam. So even it could be that even a short period of time, you still, we're describing over here, long hair. It's longer than as usual. And that is the beauty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes. From the Haftarah, I don't remember which Haftarah, maybe it's Yeshaya, I don't remember where it is that we learn from there that it was very common in time of Chazal, in time of the Beis HaMikdash, for adolescents, for boys, once you become Bar Mitzvah, your rite of passage was to become a Nazir. In other words, after you matured, you become Bar Mitzvah, it was a given. You go to Yeshiva, you are a Nazir for a period of time in your life. Because that is, it represents discipline. Just like when you go to yeshiva, you're supposed to become learn Musar and become a disciplined person. The process, the tkufa of a Nazir is, you have to abstain from yayin, which represents the good things, the things, the enjoyable things in life, and you have to not come in contact with the dead, what is the third thing of the Nazir? Mace, what? And the grow along here. So this was something which every young man, every bachur did early in his life in order to be trained in the ways of Hashem.
So we do the opposite.
Okay, so this is the parish of the Mitzvahs. The father mimikabel for the son. Right, in Echanami. So this was very common. There's a pasuk here, I think in Yeshai, that makes mention of this fact that the Bachurim, it was common for them. I think of Yaakov Kamenetsky as a development on this. He shows that that's what they did when they were very young. Okay, let's go to the Rashi. The Rashi is a little bit different based upon many midrashes. Very long Rashi. He noch yofer ayosi. Before we go further, I just want to tell you something that's very interesting in the Shul Rav. I never knew this, that Rav Chaim Berlin. Okay, Rav Chaim Berlin was the father of the Nitziv, is that correct? I'm confused. Rav Chaim, the one that the Chaim Berlin is named after. I'm confused. Rav Chaim Berlin was the Rav of Berlin. He was the Rav of Berlin, and he was a Bal Koyre. He was the Bal Kriya in the community. and he was known to be a Baal Kriya Mufluk. Everyone in the whole community would come to his shul just to hear him lain. And they came, the highlight of his laning Kriya, this is what it says over here, at least in the Shulchan Aruch, was on Pesach, when he laned Shir HaShirim. That was one of the highlights of his laning. And which pasuk in Shir HaShirim was the pasuk they all went to hear him lane? Was this pasuk. This pasuk he laned with a very intense hislavos. Hinoch yofor ayosi, hinoch yofor nach yonim. This pasuk, when he came to this pasuk, he would stop, he would raise his voice with great emotion, and people came just to hear him recite this pasuk. So they once asked him, why this pasuk from all psukim? So he said, it was based upon a maisa of Shahaya. It's a very long story, but he elaborated upon the Medrash. The Medrash says here, Hinoch yofor ayosi. The one Medrash says, you are beautiful before you sinned. Hinoch yofor Yinoch Yofor after you sinned. It's like Hashem Hashem, Hashem Koidim Achet, Hashem Acher Achet. So Yofor is before. You have the Medrash of Michal? Okay, I'm not sure. I didn't find this Medrash.
But see that particular line.
Before you sin, what's really what the Mitzvah said to some degree. The Mitzvah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzudas really is drawing from this marriage. He's saying that you were beautiful when the Shina was resting upon you. You were good. You were beautiful in my Simtaiv, and you were beautiful now. Even when the Shina has left you, you're beautiful now. Then it says, "Einayich yoinim." What is the significance of your eyes are like yoinim? So the Medrash says a yoina has the nature that it looks back. It looks back, it turns backwards, it looks back, and will never travel further than a distance where it can recognize, it can get back to where it came from. In other words, and this is as a halakhic tafkamin, if you find a yoina out, you find a yoina in the middle of the forest, the middle of the field, and you do not know where it came from, and there's a nest, let's say 50 amos to the left, and there's a nest, there's a chicken coop of a yoinim to the right, you can automatically identify that a yoino will not travel more than 50 amos away from its coop. Because that's the nature of a yoina. A yoina is always loyal to its shoresh, to its roots. And when it goes off the path, When it distances itself from home, there is a limit to how far it will go. It will only go so far where, to the degree when it wants to return, it is confident, it is certain, it can make its way back to where it came from. Once it comes more than 50 amos, Yona does not have the sophistication to return to where it came from. And therefore it will not travel that far, even though it's physically capable of traveling that far. It has a natural homing instinct. It comes back to its shoreshim, and that's why it's always looking back. It has a tendency, more so than other birds, to look back. Other birds will take risks. According to Chazal, other birds will take risks and will travel very far distances. If it can't find its way back, so it won't find its way back.
All birds have a GPS built into their brain.
Some of them more than others.
Right.
What?
No, they could.
Every single one.
Blindfold a bird and his feet point north 100% of the time. All birds, they have a built-in. They go back to the same tree 1,000 miles away that they were last summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but yonim have more. I'm aware of that. I read it. But yonim, according to Chazal, they have a greater intensity. They have a greater intensity, and they will not distance themselves. It's more apparent that they will come back to their roots. And that again has a lach nafkamin. If you find a bird, you could automatically assume that the bird, if the bird came from a nest that was within 50 amos. You don't have to be chayish. The bird came from a nest that's more than 50 amos away. And if you find the bird in that location, you can take it for yourself. But if there's a nest within 50 amos, there's a discussion in the Gemara about this, above Metzia, how far a bird will travel from its nest. Now, so the story, the Sefer Sholov, he elaborates that it's a story where Chaim Berlin, when he was the Rav in Berlin, there was a person, before he was in Berlin, he was in a different city before, a smaller city, and a person approached him to perform a bris milah. But he came to him in a disguise. He told him to meet him in a certain location. He did not want anyone to know that he was Jewish. And he came to meet him privately, and he told him he had a son. His wife gave birth to a boy, and he needs Rabbi Berlin to come and perform the bris milah. Rav Chaim Berlin was also known to be a moyel mumche. So he came, so he wanted to come. There's a whole story. He couldn't come because he didn't want people to be suspicious that he's Jewish, because he was dealing with the Christians and he didn't want to lose his parnasa, and he wasn't at all religious, no shaykhus to Yiddishkeit. Okay, so after a whole story, they came with a doctor, with him, a whole story, they did a bris milah, and later he met him and he said to him, "Tell me, what's going on over here? Why did you, were you meiser nefesh for me to come and do a bris milah on your son when you have absolutely no shaykhus to Yiddishkeit?" It's one thing that if you're a Jew in secret, you're a practicing Jew, you want your children to be Jewish. You hope the day will come when you'll be able to practice your religion in public. But after Rabbi Berlin got to know the person, he saw that he has nothing, no shaykhus to Yiddishkeit. So he said to him, even though it's true I have no shaykhus to Yiddishkeit, I want my child to have a chance. I still want the child to have a chance that he'll have shaykhus to Yiddishkeit. And he interpreted Rabbi Berlin, he was learning the Medrash at that point in time, and he saw it as a sign in Hashemayim to understand that pshat in this pasuk. Hinoch yofar rayosi, you are beautiful, my rayosi, in the past. Hinoch yofar, you're beautiful now. What's the next two words? Einayich yoinim. Even now when you are sinners, even now when the Shekhinah has separated from you, because you are Avdon Averos, you know your limits. Even when you do Averos, Klal Yisrael will not do Averos to the degree where they come to a point where it's beyond return. I know you'll tell me it's not so. There are situations where they do go beyond the point of return, into marriage and so on and so forth, but generally, even if Rachmana Litzlan, a person goes so far to give up everything, to abandon Yiddishkeit, there is a limit to how far he goes. He is still in the gather of Einayich Yoinim. Your eyes are still looking back to your nest, to your home. Person can deviate, can stray, but there's a sensor taking you back to where you come from. And that's, this pasuk had very great meaning to Rabbi Chaim Berlin based upon this story that he experienced with this person, and that's why he had such a bren when he laid this pasuk, and people came special to hear him laying the pasuk. Now let's see Rashi, long Rashi's. Hinoch yofer ayasi kilson v'rotson. Hashem here is praising Klal Yisrael. V'rotson, Hashem is showing them rotson. Rotson is another word for favor. The Orvu Olav Karbinos Sehem, and Hashem is making a statement that your korbanos are sweet, your offerings are sweet to me. Now obviously Rashi is not learning this pasuk during times of Golos, like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says during Golos there are no korbanos. If here Rashi is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds the sacrifice to be pleasant and sweet, we're dealing with during the time of, at least if we continue with the theme of the previous psukim, previous parak, we're dealing with Mishkan Shiloi. Next, Ad Sheyafu Achayom. Now I don't know why this is here. This is not part of this pasuk. This is in the next. This is later on, much later on. Okay, so I do not know how these words crept into this pasuk. I didn't see anyone talking about what. This is another pasuk. At Sheyafu Achayom. We had it before. We're going to have it later. Okay, so I'm not sure why these words are here. Somehow they crept in these words. Ad sheyafu achayom shechotu lefonai bimei chofni upinchas. Okay, I'm not sure. I really don't know. Until sheyafu achayom, until the wind blows. The first major event of Chet by Klal Yisrael was since, okay, it was Choftei Pinchas, that was the end of Mishkan Eshil. Okay, you're explaining very good. That since Rashi in the previous pasuk, in the previous parak, said that we're dealing here with Mishkan Shiloi, right? If we go back, to where was Mishkan Shiloi? It was a few psukim back. Pasuk Tes, Apirion, Asa Loi Hamelech Shloimo Meyatzei Halavon. What is the Apirion? Rashi, we had so many different interpretations. Rashi learned this is the Mishkan Shiloi. Mishkan Shiloi was the Apirion, Asa Melech Shloimo. Then Rashi, when we mentioned over here, we spent a lot of time on this, is that the only description in the entire Tanakh of what exactly Mishkan Shiloi looked like was Pasuk Yud. Mishkan Shiloi had Amudav Osa Chesef Refida So Zav Merkovoy Argomon Toichoy Rotzuf Ava Bibinos Yerushalayim. Michal, you here for this Pasuk? We did this? We described that Mishkan Shiloi is one of the very big mysteries in Tanakh. What exactly it looked like. We know what the Mishkan looks like, we know what the Bayis Rishon looks like, the Bayis Sheni. We have illustrations from Yechezkel with the Bayis Shlishi. But Mishkan Shiloi, 369 years, a major period in Klal Yisrael, a major Mishkan. It wasn't the Bama Gadol, it was Mamash the Mishkan. No clues, no art scroll books to illustrate what it looked like. It's a very big mystery. But this Pasuk, according to the Perush of Rashi, is the only Pasuk in Tanakh that gives us a glimmer of insight to the uniqueness of Mishkan Shiloi. It's the Apirion. Asle HaMelech Shlomo, Rashi says very clearly, this is the Oil Moed Shenikva B'Mishkan Shiloi. And the next Pasuk is a description. Amudav Asa Chesef, there were pillars of silver. Refida Asai Zahav, there was a spread, a mattress spread of gold. Merkovoy Argamon, a foundation of purple. Toichoy Rotzuf Ava B'Binos Yerushalayim. Okay, we learned all the Midrashim and the Targum that tells us that this Pasuk is not referring to Mishkan Shiloh, it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, or referring to the Aron, or referring to the Mishkan. And they interpret all of these words in reference to all different types of different parts, different Yachin Ubayas, the Amudim, the silver Amudim inside the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, that was a different discussion. But according to Rashi, Rashi over here is something very insightful dealing with Mishkan Shiloh. So now it fits very well, Rabbi Nechemya said, is that now if we continue along those lines in Perek Dalet, and over here, I don't know where he gets I have no idea where those words are coming in over here in this Pasuk, but if you want to add that theme here into the idea, Mishkan Shiloi came to an end when Eli's two sons began to become corrupt. They began to take for themselves more than what they were entitled, and to abuse the women that came to bring korbanos. So therefore, now what is the beauty of the yoinim? So I told you before from the Midrash, they look backwards. Rashi here says the beauty is in their colors. Gavonayich umar isayich, your color and your appearance, the dugmo seich, and your likeness. Three different expressions which obviously are packed with symbolism, which I don't know what this means.
That's the whole problem with the other pasuk that you cited, the Aperian pasuk. It's all in such symbolic language that any attempt to make, to try to make it literal as a description, let's say on the Mishkan, is...
Okay, but a lot of these Rashis are drawing from Midrashim. One word in Rashi can refer to an entire Midrash. Okay, I'm not familiar with the Midrashim, but we have with three very powerful words.
The Sephora just says that in his explanation, the Yonim are loyal to the master.
They're loyal. It's a whole new idea.
In other words, the same way that Yonim won't go far because he wouldn't leave his master, while Israel won't desert Hashem only just so far. There's always that, like you said, just that little bit, there's always an attachment there. It never breaks. Never a final break.
Never a final break. Like you coming in your homing device. Like you go home. Okay.
I think it's just Rashi in search of negative in
the midst of
a very positive positive.
Well, Ad Shifuchim doesn't even appear in the Pasuk.
No.
So how did it get here?
Right.
How did he get here? Is it not, maybe it's not a Dibur HaMaskil, it was just meant to be part of the commentary, it's the printer's error? It's not clear. Okay, Rashi even says, what is the beauty of the Yoinim? The beauty of the eyes of the Yoinim, Rashi doesn't really say, just says that Gavonayich, your color, Umari Sayich, your appearance, the Dugma Sayich, and your likeness, Kayoina Hazois Hadveka Beven Zuga, loyalty to its mate. Okay, not loyalty to its master, like you quote from the Sopurno. Not the fact, not the homing to its home, the homing device that's built in. That's not what Rashi says. Rather, the beauty is it's loyal to its zug. As we know from the Baal HaTurim that we had discussed many times, that if you have a choice to take a Ben Yoina or Toirim, two turtle doves, or one Ben Yoina, you should take the turtle doves, because a tar. Because if you take a Yoina, are you going to separate a Zug? And the Ben Zug is never going to remarry, so to speak. And therefore, it's a very great tragedy. The Ben Zuga, next Chiddush, he says a second idea. Uche Sheshechtim Oysa, when you slaughter a Yoina, it does not resist. And in fact, a Yoina, when it realizes it's being slaughtered, it extends its neck forward to assist the slaughterer. Okay. It does not shake. Ela peshetes tzavor, it extends its neck. The Klal Yisrael does the same thing. Kach at nasata shechem lispol oili umaroi. You Klal Yisrael have extended your neck, your shoulders to be mekabel upon the ol malchus shemayim. Some of the Farshim, they say this, they go a little further, could be seen in the Medrash, that it refers to mesiras nefesh, that when Klal Yisrael has to give up their life al kiddush Hashem, they do not reject it. They do not reject the opportunity, they do not resist, they do not complain, they give up their neshamas like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like a Yoina. A Yoina, when its time comes to be slaughtered, it accepts upon itself its fate and extends its neck. When Klal Yisrael Rachmana Litzlan is in a matzav where they have to give up their neshamas like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, al-Kiddush Hashem, they do not resist, they do not reject, and they go l'shem shemayim. Next, mib'ad latzamo seich, from behind the veil, tzareich ke'eder ho'izim. Okay, now here we get a little bit complex. Rashi's coming to differ with the parish of the Mitzudos. If you remember, according to the Mitzudos, we had a comma. Miba'ad latzamoseich was part of what it says, the enayich. Enayich yoinim miba'ad latzamoseich. And indeed, the trop, the Tamei HaMikra, indicate that those two words should be connected to the words Inayich Yoinim. The Miba'ad Latzamoseich are grouped together with Inayich Yoinim. According to Rashi, he's not going to say that. He's going to say that you put a period after it says Hinoch Yofo Inayich Yoinim, period. Now when it says Miba'ad Latzamoseich Sarech Ke'eder Ho'izim, those words go together. Let's see. Miba'ad latzamoseich sarech eider hoizim. Hakilus hazeh, this praise, dugmas, is similar to the kilus isha haneheves lechoson, that a choson praises his kala. Okay, try this today, see where he gets you. You won't get another date, that's for sure. What does it say over here? Mipnim liki shurayich, underneath your veil. Kishrach means the some type of, not a veil, it's some type of knot, some type of net. Right? Knot, some type of thing which keeps your hair in place. Sa'arech no'eh, your hair is beautiful. Umavhik, and it shines. Kizoyar, kitzoyar, like a stone, like a shining stone. Tzoyar tasalateva, like a shining stone. Vilav nunis, and it is white. Now, I don't think it means white. I think it means it's clean. I think here it means that it's pure. It's a pure, clean kisa'ar huizim levonos, like the hair of the goats, the white goats, hayordos min haharim, usa'aron, and their hair is mavhik, merachoik, and their hair, it shines from the distance. That's what I mentioned to you before, that when they're coming down the mountain, it doesn't mean the branches of thorns that are on the side of the mountain, and it gets plucked out or gets combed when it comes to these thorns. No, it means when it comes down the mountains, the sun is shining, and if you're standing on the bottom of the mountain, you see a certain brilliance, a certain shine that radiates from the hair of the of the goats. The hadugma.
As a whole.
Right, from the distance, as they come down, it's a beautiful scene to see these animals come down the mountain, and you see the hair, the white hair of the goats, it shines in the rays of the sun. So the chasn is telling the kala that your hair, a beautiful hair. Okay, shadima v'adugma, shadima kineses yisrael l'kach, the klal yisrael is similar in this respect. He mibifnim limachanusach. So here we're saying underneath your hair covering. That means when Klal Yisrael, you would never know inside the machane, inside the community. It's not in public. You have to go in the community to see the beauty of the community. If you just walk in the streets, you're not going to see the beauty. Mibifnim limachanusach umishkinosach. Inside your machane and your mishkinosach. Klal Yisrael, you're beautiful, you shine, you radiate. And then Rashi adds, Af harekim shebech, even the empty people, the people in the lower stature, the people who are not Talmidei Chachamim, chavivin olai, are precious to me. Now here we had a whole new idea, which really is drawn from the Medrash. Ki Yaakov ubonav shegolshu loredes mehar gilot. Now, what does it mean, shagolshu? Shagolshu here means that they departed. Right? Is that what it means? I have a hard time translating shagolshu loredes when they. I don't have a good word for shagolshu. I don't know what it means.
They slid down?
Is that what they slid down? Loredes. They escaped. Loredes mehar hagilot. Kisigam Lavan Sham, when Lavan met them over there, and they established a treaty with Lavan, the Galate. They said the Galate. So therefore, we'll go back to the Pasuk. So what do we take out of this Pasuk going to the parish of Rashi? When it says over here in the Pasuk that Einayach Yanim period, Mibad Latzamoseich Saarech Ke'eder Ho'izim, we don't follow the Tameh HaMikra. It's one continuous expression. From underneath your veil, your hair is beautiful. The veil is the veil of the hair, not the veil of the eyes. Sarech, your hair is beautiful, ke'eder ho'izim, like the beautiful hair of the goat that comes down the mountain, of the goats, period. And then when it says, shegol shomehar gilod, you are like Yaakov and his children, when they left from Lavan, shegol shomehar gilod, they were perfect. They were, now Rashi is, they were reikonim. Now, I don't know why he calls them reikonim. Af harikonim shabech chaviv nolai ki Yaakov ubonav shagol shu loredes mehar gilad kishasigam lovan sham. I don't have a grasp why here we're referring to the reikonim, and what is the similarity of the reikonim to the children of Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu's children when they left Lavan's home. What does it mean? They were reikonim. They were not reikonim. They were tzaddikim.
They vacated. They
left a gap. So what, they were perfect.
That's what goal should mean. They left a void there. That's why Lavan chased after them.
I don't know. Okay, let's do a little deeper.
It connects to the...
Okay, there's a medrash. Okay, there's a medrash here.
Yeah.
Targum also discussed this, also mentions the same idea, the same medrash of Yaakov. This will be lost. Louise, the next verse will stop. Dabar acher, ka'oison, this is another thing which the Rashi is going to repeat over a few times. Shetzavu al Midyan, they gathered. They gathered to go to war against Midyan in the aftermath of Bilam. Bilam and Balak. There was a war. Klal Yisrael went out to war against Midyan. Shetzavu al Midyan, bal Dever Hayardin, Shoyib Eretz Gilad, the Lashon Zeb, the Medrash Shir Hashir. Okay, so you know, we're going to go over this section, we're going to go over next time, the Lean Eder on Monday. Okay, we'll stop over here. It's really late. Yeah. Galay. Yeah. Okay, so we'll go over that next time.